Also from the Department of Higher Education and Training.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning. My name is Mtutuzi Monan, Deputy Minister, Department of Higher Education and Training. And a Member of Parliament, of course.
Well, thank you very much. Can we then take the opportunity to allow the officials of the department to lead the presentation, and I guess Advocate Bashoff is going to lead the presentation. Okay.
Thank you for the opportunity.
First of all, I just want to apologize for the Director General. He's unfortunately not able to attend today. Mr. Patel, the Deputy Director General, will also join us soon to assist me and my colleague in the presentation. Chair, with your indulgence, if it is possible, possible to start off with the Bill 24 of 2012, which is the Further Education and Training Colleges Bill, Amendment Bill. This is a bill which seeks to amend certain definitions of the Further Education and Training Colleges Act and to deal with a very, very important aspect, which is dealing with the whole concept of your colleges and also the aspect pertaining to your AED centers and how that can be included and also provided for in a framework that is first of all known to the education constituencies and also provide the necessary flexibility to deal with that institutional type in a more coherent and conclusive manner. The definitions therefore affect amendments to deal with that aspect. It also, many of the amendments that you would find in this amendment bill deals with the change in terminology as a result of it and the references to institutional types which this piece of legislation seeks to amend and to provide for. I will go into the detail now. It is just to indicate that there's a lot of consequential amendments as a result of that introduction of an institutional type, which is called a community education and training college, which is the type of institution that takes over the responsibilities of the AED centers. And then it also provides for the South African Institute for Vocational and Continuous Education and Training, which is a institute to support these institutional types. And here I will deal with the two institutional types in more detail now, but this institute is not the institution, but it will provide the support and the structure to make all your colleges, both your TVET colleges, that's the old Further Education and Training Colleges, and also that's the new proposed institutional type, the first one. The second one is dealing with the community and educational and training colleges to make them more responsive to the educational needs in the adult sector. And then this bill also deals with transitional arrangements and it provides for the name change to the Act. In future, the Further Education and Training Colleges Act will be known as the Continuing Education and Training Act. And lastly, it also deals with the transitional arrangements in detail to achieve all these. It is important that when we look at the definitions, the concept of a college has been redefined. It is providing for a TVET college, which is a technical and vocational education and training college. This is the international institutional type that's used for this type of colleges. It is to bring South Africa more in line with the international approach and to still keep the distinctive nature of the program mix and offering of qualifications at the colleges, but specializing on technical and vocational education. And then the center of the education system, that's been the adult education and training colleges, centers. So they've always been dealt with in terms of an act which is very limited in its application. The current provision dealing with governance only provides for a governance structure which consists of the compulsory members, consisting of the principal, the educators, and the students or the learners at that institution, and if they, it is applicable to provide for external members, but it's not compulsory. And the essence of it, it is consisting of an internal constituencies running that institutions, and it is not functioning properly. It further had limitations that it can only provide for qualifications at INQF level 1, which is a huge limitation. It provides for the most basic entry level, and it's not providing the necessary carry through of qualifications within the general and further education and training subsector, as is envisaged within the National Qualifications Framework Act. So, Chair, these two institutions, the institutional types of a TVET, or Technical and Vocational Education and Training College, and a Community Education and Training College, are the international college types that you would find for adult education, which is continuing after school, and which is therefore providing the necessary flexibility to deal with the demands of that sector in South Africa. The definitions also therefore had to change to provide for the private colleges, that they are also then to be dealt with within the framework of these amendments, and therefore the references should also not reflecting the old further education and training terminology, but the terminology used in terms of this amendment bill. Further provides for the definition of the South African Institute for Vocational and Continuing Education and Training. This institute, I've already alluded to, is to support. It provides for a range of technical changes to the definitions, which basically is repealing some of those that are now become absolute because of the specific reference to further education and training, and it also introduced changes to others and new definitions which deal with the new terminology. And then, lastly, it also provides for a change to the reference of the old SAQWA Act to refer to the INQF Act as the current piece of legislation applicable. Clauses 3 to 4, 6 to 14, 16 to 19, and 22. These clauses are all relevant in the sense that it is technical amendments which has been brought about due to the change of further education and training to continuing education and training, and is therefore purely technical in nature. Clause 2 is a very important one, And here, the approach that's been taken is to say, instead of providing a new act for adult education and training, which is also a bit confusing, the name adult education, because higher education and training is dealing with adult education, the sector of adult education, post-school education. And therefore, it was a challenge to develop legislation which is not merely a repetition of what is already on the statute books when it comes to the colleges. And because of that, because of the international tendencies, and because of the fact that the institutional types that we need in South Africa of technical and vocational and community education as such, which is not limited to the NQF level 1 only, but is running from NQF level 1 up to NQF level 4, becomes a very important strategy, and therefore the amendments were made to the Colleges Act to introduce these two institutional types and therefore provide the necessary flexibility. The amendment also then need to amend the existing legislation, not only to identify the specific type of institution when the minister established such a college, but also identify the name and the location, which is part of the current framework. Clause 5 introduces an amendment to Clause 11 of the Principal Act, and the issue here is that both institutional types, both the community education training colleges and the technical and vocational education and training colleges, must be subjected to the same statutory framework in governance, in functioning, and in the operation thereof. But it is also foreseen, especially in the initial stages, that your community education and training colleges might not have the same sophistication and need a structure such as an academic board because of the limited qualification offering. And therefore the flexibility has been built into the Act to allow for the minister, by way of a formal proclamation in the Gazette, that this need for an academic board, if there is a good sound reason for it, should not be dealt with and therefore is not required for a specific community education and training college. Chair, it's not that the minister must do it, it's a made provision, and therefore it's just providing the flexibility to deal with the existing issues and the realities that are on the ground. Chair, clause 15 is dealing with amendments which is it's one chapter that's been introduced into the bill. It is providing for an array of clauses to be introduced as part of that chapter, and the clauses are running as new sections 33A right up to 33K. This chapter is dedicated to the South African Institute for Vocation and Continuing Education and Training, SIFET, and this institute obviously is a supporting structure, statutory structure, and which is critical in the running of the the colleges as envisaged in the new dispensation, where it is dealt with at a national level, and this institute, together with the department, will therefore provide the necessary support to ensure that colleges can function as high-level institutions and institutions of quality. Chair, Section 43A deals with the establishment of that institute, and that entity will be a juristic person. Section 43B deals with the functions, and Chair, once again, the functions very important. It is functions which is dealing with also the interface between your general and further education and training sub-framework and your trade and occupational sub-framework of the EQF, and to provide that interface and cohesion which is necessary within the system. And it provides also for practical issues like the development of curriculum and the learning program in order to assist the institutions in the development of their own quality education within that institution. Chair, Section 43C deals with the governance structures, namely the board, which will be responsible for all the governance functions. Section 43D provides for vacation of office and filling of vacancies. It's a standard provision in any statutory or any statute dealing with a statutory body. Section 43E provides for the funds and the accountability of that institute. Section 43F provides for interventions by the minister. And Chair, these are the provisions that's been introduced into the education system in amendments last year to other institutions and statutory bodies. And Chair, it is to deal with financial mismanagement or financial difficulties or maladministration, and to first of all place that statutory institution on terms for them to deal with the problems. But if they fail to deal with it, then to allow the minister to come in and appoint an administrator. This section is dealing with the identification and to provide the institute with an opportunity to deal with the problem. If they fail to deal with it, with their directives given by the minister, or obstruct any person, then the minister can go and deal with the provisions which is also provided in the bill to bring in an administrator and to perform the functions on behalf of that institute. Chair, once again, the cost of the appointment of the administrator will be to the budget of the institute. Chair, it is because it is functions that the council been resolved, and also the management and the wastage must be curbed, and the funding of that institute will therefore cover those costs already. And if there is a need to supplement the funding, it's better to do it through the budget of the institute than from any other budget. It's a principle that was also accepted by this committee in similar legislation last year. Chair, Section 43G deals with the appointment of the administrator and all the practicalities pertaining to that. Chair, it also provides for a limited intervention, a focused intervention, and which is also the circumstances under which this problems that have been arisen, the financial statements, the audited accounts, those objective indicators which reveals these financial and maladministrative problems and the circumstances which necessitate the intervention. Chair, the bill also deals with, as I said, the period for the appointment. It cannot exceed 2 years. It's a focus, dedicated intervention. It's not taking over the functions of that board. And then, Chair, Section 43H to J deals with the consequences, the assistance to the administrator, the remuneration, and also the dissolution of the board, which is a consequence of that decision. Then lastly, Section 43K in that chapter deals with the closure and the disestablishment of that institute, and that is a once again a clause or provision that you would find in any legislation where you establish, you must also be able to close down if there's a need for that. So, clause 20 is dealing with the short title of the current act, not the short title of the bill, but the short title of the current act. And Chair, the name of this current act, which is the Further Education and Training Colleges Act, is now changed to become the Continuing Education and Training Act of 2006. And Chair, it is provided once again a terminology and appropriate name which is in line with the international practices and within the needs of the South African environment. Clause 21 is dealing with the Schedule 1, which is the standards statutes that's applicable to any of the institutions that established in terms of this Act, and will also be the structure which will provide the framework for the AA centers to become absorbed within this Act. And will deal with, and this schedule already deals with all the issue of governance, the committees, and all the necessary provisions pertaining to the staff and other structures within that college. Chair, it is an existing one, or a provision, or a structure within the Act, and this is merely to amend and bring the terminology in line with the amendments proposed in this bill. Then clause 23 deals with the long title. Once again, it is to correct the long title of the existing Act and to introduce the terminology that is now applicable as a result of this amendment bill and to bring it in line with the international accepted practices. Clause 24 deals with the repeal of laws. These laws are identified in the schedule to the bill. This schedule is very focused and limited to the legislation applicable to the AA centers. It's the AA Act of 2000 and any amendment legislation applicable to that Act. And then the provisional or the transitional arrangements we find in Clause 25. Chair, once again, it deals with the issues pertaining to the name changes, which is caused by the introduction of these two institutional types, where your FET colleges converted into TVET colleges and your AS centers in CET colleges, and that all the related matters pertaining to the governance structures, the staff, and all those related matters are dealt with in terms of the transitional arrangements. And then clause 26 is dealing with the short title at commencement of civil. Thank you, Chair. That is the amendments to the FET colleges.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Can we proceed to questions of clarity by members on the presentation? Professor Luret? Vanjani?
Thank you, Chair. This is just basically as a matter of curiosity. Now dealing with an amendments bill on the Further Education and Training Colleges Act, I would just like to inquire what is the impact of the act as we have it now seen in the light that the constitutional amendment has not yet taken place in terms of the different schedules. Where do we stand with this? We're already now trying to amend the act. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first question seeking clarity is the establishment of these colleges themselves. You know, we have got FETs, né? Now we have these colleges. I just want to know what specific needs now these colleges seek to address. And also, I must have missed when an advocate was trying to make a difference between a community college and the rest of these. And also, we are substituting the term further with continuing. What's the difference in meaning between these two? Does the difference make any difference in meaning in practical terms when we look at these colleges? And also, clause 5, when you about the establishment of the board, just to get the feel, because the minister may, understanding the function of the board, what will be different if the minister decides not to have this board? And lastly, this act this bill is introduced to provide, amongst other things, for a private college. But I've just listened to the advocate. I don't see any clause that will deal with the establishment of such a private college other than the rest of these other two types. I must have missed it here. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Well, I just wanted also to get a clarity. I think Professor here has just put it clearly to say we must also be careful of whether it won't have any effect in terms of the constitutional amendment. But also the other thing that I wanted to check in terms of the relationship between this bill in relation to the Labor Relations Act, what's going to happen in terms of the staff that is working within that particular colleges that we have currently. What impact will it have? Because I think that will be able to assist us. But also, the other issue that I wanted to check, I think it was the clause 15, page 9, where it speaks about that should the board fail to comply with the minister directive within the stated time. Because I think this other element of saying stated time, it becomes a general statement. I wonder if there's anywhere where it's covered specifically to say what kind of time do we speak about. Because I remember in the other bill, we were speaking in terms of the 6 months period that we were given to the administrator, and we're speaking in terms of the board that was given, I think, about 3 months, if I'm not mistaken, to say they must comply within these 3 months. So if it can be able to be clarified to say, when it comes to this one of this type of college, what kind of period do we talk about? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It's been a long time. The presenter has said it, that it's a technical bill. Unfortunately, I'm not a lawyer. I might raise issues that, but I'll try to raise because I'm getting a lot of confusion. Well, in clause 5, on the issue of this academic board, I'm more familiar with higher education, but I'll just get a clarity. Allowing the minister to decide to establish these academic boards wouldn't affect the role of the part of academic independence of institutions, allowing to centralize the power for the minister to decide on academic matters of institutions. I'm raising this in line with the fact that I link this discussion with the 2020 post-matric, because we want to build better institutions. My observation is that we are not doing this amendment without taking into cognizance the current discussion we have on the post-matric legislation. Now, if you allow a minister to decide that this kind of an institution, because of its nature, possibly its capacity, cannot have, you are saying you're still going to continue to have these small institutions who cannot run on themselves on issues that relate to governance and academic matters. Are we not interfering with academic independence of those institutions? Secondly, I always link this with my understanding on education, on giving the authority of the minister to administrators, appointing administrators. Are we not introducing a phenomenon where we give the minister more authority, more day by day? My fear is that as a politician, the advocate to clarify me on these things, that I see in South Africa that we are more, our institutions are beginning to be more administrator-driven type of institutions. Everything is sent to an administrator these days. Institutions are no longer running. Are we not giving the minister more authority to run institutions and not allow institutions to run themselves? It's not the intention. Will clarify me, advocate. I'm just a layman in law. These concepts, two concepts, definitions of this institute, the TVET College and the CET College. maybe it's part of the broader, the future discussion that we'll have. In South Africa, we like to have a menu of different apples all the time. Now, are we not introducing more, I know it's technical, but more, many confusing similar things. Community, it's the same thing, but the other one, another FET of a higher education, but this one is an FET of a technical college. Community education, this one is smaller than the technical vocational. Why can't we have define exactly what we want, full stop? Have one institution that runs different things, and not have many concepts that even confuse us what we want to achieve and take things step by step in South Africa. We are introducing a change, but with many different concepts in which we are failing even ourselves to understand. Maybe, Honorable Chair, it's a discussion as we do with deal with that legislation, that discussion document. We should get into it more deeper. I know this is technical. I'm just a politician. I'm going to lament. Okay.
So, that you are a lawmaker. So you are an expert in lawmaking.
Thank you, Chair. It has been long, really, since we last saw Honorable Banga, and he looks very good today, like a communist. Congratulations, Honorable Chair. Chair, I just wish to know the scope of this CET, Community Education and Training College. Yes, we understand that for adult education, the scope was up to NQL level 1, and that we are correcting that. Not we are correcting, but it's being amended now. I think the regulation is to address such issues. But how far is this one going to? What is the scope of this one now? And it's a relationship when it comes to the question of articulation, even with this other type of the college and the whole post-schooling sector. If we can address the question of articulation when it comes to that. And then, Chair, the establishment of this South African Institute for Vocational and Continuing Education. Chair, I can be glad if I can get more clarity on that type of institution as to say what is it that you are looking at, what comprises this institution. Just a clarity on it, I can be pleased. Thanks.
It won't necessarily be a question, because I think some of us as we raise the issues go beyond what is meant for today's session, because my view was that we should only try to get an understanding where we are not clear so that we are able to run with the process later. And we'll still have this kind of engagement later as and when other stakeholders might have engaged with the process who are in the field, in the process that will be run by us. Some of these concepts, anyway, were raised even in the green paper and all of that, so we could have had these concepts. But some of the questions are as like we're back somewhere, and also that we want to engage it here and now, as if we could be conclusive on certain things, and I don't think so. But I had thought from where you're sitting, you could define the bounds, and probably just to make it clear of us as to what will be the process that will be conducted from here onwards until we are able to conclude this, so that we know at what point are we interacting with it for purposes of either finality and all that. Thanks. Thanks.
I trust and hope that Arthur Boshoff would be able to clarify all the questions that have been raised, inclusive of the conceptual clarity that Onubanga might require as to this differential typology being introduced by the bill, and then the jettisoning of the historical nomenclature of further education in training all that. So I thought I should just permit that, and I know that it's mindful of time, and within 10 minutes is able to eclipse all the questions in a way that provides clarity of thought for all of us, so that even if he goes beyond just simple clarity provision, it might create a solid basis for thoroughgoing engagement at a later stage. And if time permits, let him do so. Thank you very much. Can we proceed then?
Thank you, Chair. I'll do my best to be within the time frame. Chair, first of all, the constitutional issue. Chair, the current provision in the Act, the Constitution, is to say that Schedule 4 indicates that education, including tertiary education, is a concurrent function. Chair, this bill, or the area in which and the scope to which it addressed, is clearly not tertiary education. Tertiary education has always been seen as university education. But concurrent function means that it is legislation or legislative powers to the level of government at the national level as well as the provincial level. It is not prescribing what would be the extent of that or the relationship and the interaction with the provincial and national levels of government. And therefore, it is unacceptable that national government provide a national legislation where the statutory functions are dealt with at the national level of government. And that does not mean that a province cannot engage in their own legislative framework in order to deal with it. So it is not unconstitutional, and it was also to have a national legislation dealing with the statutory responsibilities at the national level. And this is what we seek to do here. It is not a constitutional amendment. It is not addressing the constitutional amendment. We are not making it a sole or a single competency to government at the national level. It merely provides national government, who got constitutionally the power and the authority to make legislation within that area of education, provide legislation which gives the authority to act to national competencies and not provincial competencies. Chair, this was the principle that was also accepted by the state law advisors, and it also been the principle that was accepted in the amendment to the FET Colleges Act that came to this committee last year. Chair, it's exactly the same principle. And Chair, it is also an accepted principle within which was taken by the Council of Education Ministers way back in 2009, where further education and training and adult education and training must move to a where the execution of the functions within the statutory provisions must move to the national department and not the provincial department anymore, as the focus of provincial departments are so more concentrated on the school and the school environment. So Chair, it's not unconstitutional, and this was also the view of the state law advisors who actually certify that this bill is not unconstitutional. Chair,
So I should say something just to clarify more on that. Because the question by a member here was that what is the relationship of this bill with regard to the constitutional 18th Amendment bill that was within Parliament. So I think I should just come in on that. The constitutional 18th Amendment bill was trying to change Schedule 4 of the Constitution. At present, Schedule 4 of the Constitution says that, okay, Schedule 4 of the Constitution deals with provincial and national concurrent legislative competencies. And in this day, they talk about education at all levels, excluding tertiary education, which means excluding tertiary education. Now, tertiary education falls within the realm of the national competency. So all education, excluding that, is a concurrent competency. Now, because of that, now that constitutional amendment bill was not, for instance, passed and became into law. So it means that the status quo, for instance, in terms of the constitutional framework remain intact. So yes, we said now the bill becomes a section, must be dealt with Section 76 procedure, which will allow, for instance, provinces and the National Council of Provinces, say, as to the processing of the bill. So that is why, because that bill is not yet. I heard from Jerry, from my colleague from within Parliament, that bill fell away. Maybe we'll say something on that, but the status quo in terms of the Constitution remains that the issues that are being addressed by this bill are issues that falls within the provincial and national concurrency, competent concurrency, and all of that. So yes, we will deal with the bill in terms of Section 76 of the Constitution. This is only to add. This doesn't contradict what Advocate Bishop have said. This is just to add and to clarify in terms of the question that was asked by the honourable member.
You are saying that we have got competence to make legislation about this matter because Section 4 allows that. I think it's very clear. Let's proceed.
Sir, next time you must be able to introduce themselves, because when members have introduced themselves, officials have introduced themselves, he never introduced himself. But from his statement, I can feel that he's a state law advisor. But he must be able to introduce himself, because I nearly stopped and said, hey, who are you? We are much. But anyway, I think next time we must be able to be aware of that. Thank you.
I thank you, President, because I will be part of the process. Anyway, my name is Advocate Monabi Singoku, and I'm a senior state law advisor from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, as to the issues pertaining to the establishment of the colleges, and the two institutional types. Chair, once again, we are talking about an amendment act or an amendment bill. The FET Colleges Act is still there. It's still dealing with the bulk of the statutory provisions in the running, the establishment, the declarations, all those sections already there. This is just to identify within the existing legislation specific amendments which provide the flexibility to deal with the current need. And the establishment of the two institutional types within the current statutory framework is not a new concept. We saw it in the Higher Education Act. The universities, Technikon, and the higher education college can be established in terms of that one piece of legislation. This is the same approach that we follow here. And the institutional type is distinguished between your qualification offerings. The one will focus on technical and vocational qualifications, while the other one is the more broader community education needs. These are concepts that's been clarified in
the green paper and also is internationally accepted fields of education with a specific scope and focus. So, Chair, this is to provide for two distinctive institution types with distinctive qualification offerings within the same legislative framework. It is to avoid and to comply also with the principle that you don't just multiply the legislation on the statute books, but rather use existing legislation in order to address your current needs. Chair, the other important thing is the need.
I just want to be clear on this. Say my child at home, say they're dead. Why should I go to a community college? What do I say to him or to her?
It will be clarified. I'm sure Advocate Boshoff understands what clarity means. You'll cover that aspect.
Yes, Chair, I was moving to that aspect now. No, Chair, there was quite a number of questions that came from the Honourable Member. Chair, the aspect of the institutional type and the offering, it is basically we've identified that those qualifications that have been offered by your Further Education and Training College is the one that is currently already focusing on your qualifications that is linked to technical and vocational qualifications and the needs of that sector. So, Chair, those colleges are converted into the technical and vocational colleges. It is the name of the college is therefore directly linked to the type of qualification, technical and vocational qualifications. And then when it comes to community education and training, yeah, it's the broader skills and educational programs that is linked to literacy, numeracy, and all the other more broader needs within the community. And Chair, it is also, as already indicated, it is running within the sub-framework of general and further education and training on the National Qualification Framework. Chair, what is important there, it is not linked to the old concept of your adult education and training center, which was only at NQF level 1. And therefore, it caused a problem in the articulation to the further levels and qualifications that's within that framework. This is an approach to say you've got two college types. Your two college types will have distinctive character, and it will be determined by the qualifications. And it will also absorb existing institutions but build on their program offerings in order to deal with the need of the education within that specific focus area, that niche has been identified. So, Chair, the question, therefore, if your child asks you which college must I go to, if it is dealing with your entrance qualifications, your community qualifications, that is providing specific skills within the lower range and also specific to community, then it is that college. When it goes to the more vocational, more specialized needs, which is needs that is linked to your trades and your professions, then it becomes vocational and technical education we're talking about, and it will be dealt with at that College. Chair, what this act provides is for the minister through policy and also, and this is the main act as it is currently worded, is providing that the minister will provide the policy in order to provide the specific direction which is provided or which is needed in order to identify the two institutional types. Chair, I've already alluded to the fact that the Green Paper spent quite a chunk of that Green Paper is dealing with these two institutional types, and it's already providing the policy framework to distinguish between these two institutional types. Chair, the other aspect that we must also acknowledge is that the concept of further education and general education is a sector which is not unique to the function of the Minister of Higher Education and Training, because those are fields of education that's also in existence with school education. School education also got a general education phase. They also got a further education and training phase. So, Chair, the issue there is to rather focus with post-school education on the type of qualification within that subsector and not to link your institutional type to or terminology which is used by different ministers and therefore cause confusion. Chair, the other aspect that was raised is this issue of doing away with the academic board. Chair, it is just a flexibility provision. Especially in the initial stages where AH centres they are converted into these community education and training colleges, they would not have the capacity and the need. There's no justification, is the word used, to have a academic board when you offer one or two qualifications. There's no need, because the academic board is there to identify the different qualifications and how to manage it within that institution to the required standards and outcomes in order to provide quality education. But it is not to say that that function must not be dealt with in this community education and training. If the minister makes such a decision, it can only be dealt with within the criteria that's provided in subsection 6 of the new of section 11, what is contained in clause 5 of the bill, and that is it must be justified and also it must be in the best interest of the college. It's not just without any direction or framework that this decision can be taken. And then, Chair, it is also, as I've indicated, a may provision. It's not that the minister must do it. It is to deal with the realities that exist. And then, Chair, the aspect of the private colleges, Chair, the definition deal with it, and then there's a whole chapter already in the FET Colleges Act. It's chapter 6, which is dealing with the registration of your private institution. This chapter is still in existence, it is still applicable, and it will also deal with the whole issue of private providers, both with the CVET colleges as well as the community education and training colleges. So, Chair, it must be read with the Principal Act as well. Chair, the aspect of the Constitution, I've already alluded to that. The issue that was raised by the Honourable Member Khadebe. I think what is also an issue raised was the aspect of the Labour Relations Act and the transfer of the staff. Chair, the transitional arrangements specifically provide for those affected by the consequences of this amendment, that staff members must be dealt with in terms of the provisions of Section 197 of the Labor Relations Act, and are dealt with in exactly the same way as we've put it to this committee in the previous amendment to the FET Colleges Act, to ensure that the rights of the individual employee, of those rights are protected, that the employees get the benefit of fair labor practices and also procedures, and it is within the same standards and provisions that's been accepted by this committee last year. Chair, then the next aspect was to deal with the interventions and the powers given to the minister to appoint an administrator. Chair, in a perfect world, it would be wonderful to have no administrators, but it is also important that if things are not going according to the standards and the will of Parliament, then someone must take the responsibility to bring that institution back onto track and to comply with the accepted standards and norms that is provided in the legislation and through other legislation applicable to specifically to finances, the PFMA, and those related legislation. And there is an obligation on the minister to do something. But the minister can only perform a function if there is a statutory empowerment to do that. If the minister do not have this statutory empowerment to intervene, then it means it must, each time there is a maladministration or a financial mismanagement, it must be a change to the legislative framework in order to take it away and to provide for a new position, which is a very lengthy process and also not always that easy to manage. So, Chair, this is an acceptable way to deal with a serious mismanagement of finances and administration. It's not without a clear set of principles. The legislation is very clear. It is not the minister standing up, getting up in the morning and decide I'm going to put a person or an entity and the administration. It is there must be evidence from external sources to justify it, and it must go through a process, and there must be compliance to specific indicators before it can be dealt with. There is therefore in not only in education but also in a majority of legislation provision for administrators to be appointed when you deal with statutory bodies in order to ensure that there is accountability and compliance to legislation. Chair, the next issue is this concept of VSET or this institute or the colleges and this institute, South African Institute for Vocational Education and Training. Chair, this institute is not an education institution. They're not going to offer any education to any student. They are not doing that. They are a statutory body to provide a support service, a dedicated support service, an advisory service to the institutions and the minister to ensure that quality education is, first of all, achieved, and the means by which they can achieve, the different institutions can achieve it. It is not a comparable to any of the colleges. It is also cutting to both the institutional types and even linked to your skills providers in order to ensure that you've got a more focused approach. And then, Chair, the last issue, I think, was this aspect of the scope of the FET colleges. I've already indicated that the policy of the minister will provide the scope. And here it is also important that the policy will bring the flexibility and the changing needs of what is a community need, and to provide more clarity in the development of further qualifications within that framework. And what is very important, it is not linked to just NQF level 1, but right up to NQF level 4. So when it comes to a qualification on setting up fencing, something like that, which is not necessary a technical or a vocational qualification, but it's very needed within a community. And you need some recognition of that skill. That type of qualification is what is envisaged. And as I've already said, at the moment it's focusing on numeracy and literacy, which is also a desperate need within our community, but it is not limited to that type of qualification. Chair, I think I've dealt with all the, and sorry I've overstepped the time frame slightly.
I shouldn't create a problem. I think this person would ultimately be asked still, even as we conclude the other one. But mainly on this one that we're in now, I see quite a few aspects that are on the green paper have been incorporated here already. Now, what coming to me, it's how we're relating with the two. Are we dealing with those now within the green paper piecemeal, or just taking some aspects of it and dealing with them separately? Or what exactly is envisaged in terms of going forward?
Thank you, Chairperson. It's Feroz Patel. I'm responsible for planning in the Department of Higher Education and Training, Deputy Director General. Chair, this is one or two issues that I would like to just amplify. I think Advocate Boshoff has covered most of the areas. I think these amendments are technical in the sense, in terms of them renaming and reorganizing the current particular situation. I think the important area is that for now, technical, vocational, and further education training colleges are renamed to technical and vocational education and training. That's a renaming, because that's what actually they do. They provide technical, and in fact, previously to FET colleges, they were called technical colleges. So it's to really focus their particular scope. Secondly, the Community Education and Training College, the current ABET centers are going to form but one part of a broader Community Education and Training, Community Education and Training Colleges, but one part. And therefore the question around the green paper process is that this legislation, in fact, in the green paper process, where these technical issues were raised, this legislation will deal with it, and so it will allow. That doesn't mean that the policy process around the expansion of what a community college is about, what it will do, will end with this legislation. So this legislation doesn't restrict. In fact, it empowers. Now, on the issue of autonomy, there was a question around academic autonomy. A close reading of the amendment will show that in fact this legislation is giving more powers than currently exists for the adult education governing structures. So in fact it's bringing the adult education and training into a higher level. However, it's adding, because current adult education doesn't have academic boards, but what it also means is that where we're sitting now, Chairperson, with an FET college from 1995, where the curriculum, for example, the N1, N2, and N3 has not changed. They still talk of Ronio machines. And that's where the South African Institute for Vocational and Education and Training comes in. It's to provide the service, it's to develop curriculum, it's to ensure that articulation issues take place, it's to provide for lecturer training. That type of capacity is not yet in the system. So the legislation will empower that. Clearly, in terms of the functions and the green paper and white paper process will just aid in terms of the policy processes. In other words, at least the legislative framework would have been in place. And then the last point on articulation issues is that we will all the time, in terms of the development of any new qualifications or curricula, the mantra should be articulation, articulation, articulation. The community college at the moment will be the adult education, but as it broadens out, there is needs in the community. For example, there's a baking course that one has to do. You can't use expensive workshops in technical and vocational education colleges to begin to do that. Thank you, Chair. Just added on to what Edward Boshoff did clarify.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like to have some clarity on the question of, the previous speaker has referred to curriculum development and all these things as an important function now of this institute. How does this tie in with the functions of the QCTO? Because they also have as one of their functions, primary functions, curriculum development. Aren't we going to have some overlap here?
Chair, the QCTO is a quality council applicable to your trade and occupational sub-framework. And Chair, the framework within which these two institutional parts and this institute must work is therefore dealing with these two sub-frameworks. And the emphasis that I've tried to put is to provide the synergy between those two. It's not going to take away the functions of the Quality Council. Chair, the Quality Council is dealing with quality assurance and the development of the qualification. But the qualification is not dealing necessarily with the detail pertaining to your curriculum. And it is also important that when you deal with the Skills Development Act, it deals primarily with private providers. There's no public institution mentioned there. While this institute will provide the public institution with the necessary curriculum and the standards to comply with those standards of the qualification set by the respective quality council and to assist the institution to deliver to the qualification to students within the broader perspective, but also to deal with the synergy between the sub-framework, the articulation between the sub-framework, the articulation between different qualifications, not only within that sub-framework, but also in another sub-framework, and to assist that the system is worked as a unit and not in silos. Chair, sorry. I've just been reminded there was also one question on the time frame for the administrator. Chair, although there is a time frame set to the administrator of not longer than 2 years, Chair, the different interventions might be dealt with in different time frames. To provide the 6 or the 3 months as a strategy time frame can provide an anomaly which is not necessarily justified by the circumstances and the type of intervention that's needed. So the approach that was accepted in the past was to provide a ceiling time frame, a 2-year time frame, but leave a discretion to the minister according to the specific type of intervention that is needed in order to determine what is a suitable time frame or a required time frame in order to deal with that intervention. And it is a accepted practice, not only in education legislation, but also in other legislation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just trying to adjust here. On page 4 of the slide, we start off by saying continuing education and training is defined and further education and training is deleted. At the bottom of that same slide, it says this process seeks to amend the relevant sections of the Principal Act by substituting further wherever it occurs with the word continuing. From a basic syllabus, it seems we are changing further to continuing. Why do you keep the act as further education and training if we are changing that?
Sir? Start as well, during the law, the long title amendments at the end of the bill.
I say you're absolutely correct. Once this amendment bill is accepted, there is an amendment to the short title and the long title, and in future, if it's the Colleges Act, will then be known as the Continuing Education and Training Act of 2006.
They're saying that if this bill becomes law, you won't be saying FET colleges anymore. You'll be saying continuing education and training colleges. And in fact, there will be two types of colleges, that one which is continuing and the other for the community education and training college, where you are going to be teaching Bonjani to do fencing and other stuff, just to be developed, to be able to have a sustainable livelihood in his village, you know, and so on. And that when we deal with these bills, let's then bring along the copy of the old one, yes, and even the policy, the green paper and all that. And the bills may not transport everything in the green paper. They will create the institutions and give powers to those people that ought to actually actualize what will remain in the green paper as a source of policy. Yes.
Of the current act, I've got copies of the integrated legislation with all the amendments. I will make it available to the clerk, and they can make copies of the Further Education and Training Colleges Act with the latest incorporation of the 2012 Amendment Bill, as well as for the university's act as well.
No, thanks very much. Let them proceed to the second presentation. In the event you have got further clarities that you seek, the officials are always available. You can engage them on the email, you can phone them, you can talk to them during lunch, if you'll ever have lunch, wherever you meet them in the street, engage with them. We can engage with them on through the internet, Facebook, Twitter, and others. We can we can engage also on newspapers. It's a debate that we must start about it. We must start about the business. I'm just saying that it's very important to engage at all those levels. let's go to the second presentation. Or do you want a 5 minute stretching and then continue? Yeah, let's take a 5 minute break and then continue.